you're here. Fellowship, sweeter, knowing you're near. It's so good to see you. I hope that it's fair. Everyone loves you.
Hi, everybody. Welcome to the Friday edition of Mark and Friends. It's October 19th, 2012. I hope you can stay with me for the next 20 or so minutes as I have Doug Carmel on the line. He's with Rock of Israel Ministries, and you can find out more at rockofisrael.org, rockofisrael.org. And if you want to get a little taste of Israel, come on out tonight for our Serve and Learn Taste of Israel Q&A. We'll have some snack food samplers of things you might have in Israel, a great teaching by Pastor Jason Schiffo on Israel and the Holy Land. I'll be there to keep things fun, encouraging, on schedule, and lively. And for those that want to hang around and learn a little more about our upcoming missions trip to Israel next year, I'll have lots of handouts and application, brochures, and other colorful publications to give out on Israel. So come on out 6:30 p.m. tonight at the Community Evangelical Free Church in Muhammad, but you must RSVP at 217-367-7777. I do realize that this morning program re-airs at 7:32 p.m. tonight, so this is for you listening to the morning edition of Mark and Friends. Reading from Zechariah 12:10. And I will pour out on the house of David and the inhabitants of Jerusalem a spirit of grace and supplication. They will look on me, the one they have pierced, and they will mourn for him as one mourns for an only child, and grieve bitterly for him as one grieves for a firstborn son. Reading now from Romans 1, verse 16. I am not ashamed of the gospel, because it is the power of God for the salvation of everyone who believes, first for the Jew, then for the Gentile. Thank you, Doug, for hanging on the line with me and being available today on this, the Friday edition of Mark and Friends. And I mentioned to our listeners that we have our special Israel night tonight, our Taste and Experience Some of Israel. And you've tasted and experienced some of Israel, not only by going there and traveling there, but by being Jewish. So what brings a nice Jewish boy like yourself to Gibson City this Sunday to share during New Beginnings service?
Well, Mark, first let me say it's a delight to be here to share with you and the Great News Radio family. I'm really excited to be able to share this next 20 or 25 minutes with you. I am looking forward to being there in Gibson City this weekend because I'm going to share a little bit of my testimony. I'm going to share a little bit about how the Messiah of Israel, Jesus, is found in the what's called the Old Testament. And that's what I do. I really enjoy teaching the Bible and showing believers that Jesus is in the Old and New Testaments. And hopefully we'll make that very clear on Sunday morning.
Now, I mentioned your website already, rockofisrael.org. What do you hope when people log on there and start viewing it? What do you hope is achieved, or what will they learn when they stop by rockofisrael.org?
Well, we have some articles on there that we've archived, many basic questions that Christians might ask about a Jewish person believing in Jesus. We also have a free newsletter that we can send out. You can just email me somewhere through that website, click on my testimony. You can read my testimony there. And basically, we want to educate believers that they might understand where their faith comes from more correctly. You know, the origin of our faith didn't start in the manger, and it goes way back to the book of Genesis. You know, and, you know, I mean, you know, Jesus, Joseph, Mary, a nice Jewish family. And it all started in Israel.
Yeah.
And when I teach, I want people to know that. And that's kind of what our website's dedicated to. Messianic believers in general, we want to teach our Gentile brothers and sisters about the Jewish roots of their faith. Because if they understand the Jewish roots of their faith, they will be better equipped to share the good news with any Jewish people that they may come in contact with.
Well, I'm a little confused because I always thought Jesus has blue eyes, blonde hair, he lives in California and speaks English.
Yeah, he did up until about 20 years ago. No, the church many years ago really portrayed, they de-Judaized Jesus, unfortunately. If you're familiar with the story of Joseph and his brothers, you know, in the book of Genesis, Joseph and his brothers had a, shall we say, a conflict. You know, the brothers left Joseph and they sold him off into Egypt. They tell their father that his son is dead. Little do they know that 20 years later, Joseph, who was, again, left for dead, so to speak, and he was forgotten about, becomes leader of Egypt. And here we have the brothers, basically the beginning of the Jewish people, showing up to Egypt looking for food, and they don't even recognize that their own brother, Joseph, has been promoted to Pharaoh, or almost next to Pharaoh, equal with Pharaoh. And so here they are, they're in front of their own brother, but they don't recognize him. And eventually, you can read the whole story in Genesis, great, great information there in Genesis. But eventually what happens is Joseph, I love what it says. It says he can't take it any longer. He sends everybody out of the room, and it's just him and his brothers. And he probably takes off his headgear, takes off maybe his Egyptian, you know, outer garment, and he probably talks to them in Hebrew, and he says, "I am your brother Joseph." And they go, And they can't believe that their brother is still alive. And they finally understand that he's their own brother. And that's what we have today, the Jewish people. Jesus is talking to them in Egyptian, from their perspective. He's not Jewish. He's wearing Egyptian clothing, so to speak, in a building that's got, you know, all these statues and monks and candles and chants. And they don't recognize their own brother. But I want the church to realize that Jesus is Jewish. And this way, when a Jewish person finally can see him with everything Egyptian, so to speak, off of him, and if you strip it down to the very core, it's their own brother.
I know my co-host on Wednesday, Pastor Jason Schiffo, has read through a number of Jewish authors and writings by the rabbis, and it's really helped influence him understanding so much of the Jewish roots of Christianity and being able to understand some of the uses of language and some of the references and how much more colorful Hebrew is and some of the original writings. And sometimes in our Greek Roman mindset, we look at facts and figures and we lose some of the true meaning of what's being conveyed. And the Jewish mind gets it right away because of tradition, because of culture, because of background knowledge.
Sure. I mean, you read the New Covenant, or as they call it, the New Testament writings, and it's Jewish through and through. For instance, do you realize the only place Hanukkah is referenced specifically by name in the entire Bible, both Old and New Testament, is one place where it's called by name Hanukkah, and that's in John chapter 10, verse 22. And in John chapter 10, verse 22, Jesus, it says in John 10, he was in the temple in Jerusalem, and it was the Feast of Dedication, which in Hebrew, that means Hanukkah. And so how many people think about, you know, Jesus at temple in Hanukkah in the winter, in December? You know, we always picture him walking on dusty roads in the summer in hot sun, you know, in big crowds. But how about him wearing a cloak in the middle of, you know, Jerusalem has snow every now and then. You know, Mark, you've been there a couple of times, I think, right? In Israel?
Yep.
And every now and then Jerusalem will get an inch or two. Of course, it shuts the city down. But, you know, Yeshua in Hebrew, Jesus in English, he was in Jerusalem for the Feast of Dedication, which is the word Hanukkah. And how many people think of Jesus as celebrating Hanukkah? But again, John 10:22, that's what it says.
Hey, maybe take us through, what is Hanukkah? How is it practiced? And you growing up Jewish, growing up with a mother and a grandmother, your grandmother, I believe, was teaching you Yiddish and from the old country. So you grew up practicing and participating in many of the Jewish holidays, thoroughly Jewish. So for the preponderance of our listeners, many of our listeners are evangelicals, they might not be able to identify with some of the Jewish customs or some of the practices. So give us kind of some of an overview of what it was like growing up and how now that you're a follower of the Lord Jesus, maybe you've been enriched by the Jewish traditions you've grown to learn and know.
Wow. Well, yeah, growing up in New York City, you know, we lived a very traditional life. My grandmother spoke Yiddish, so I could understand Yiddish, which today basically is a dying language. Nobody really speaks it anymore. We were always in synagogue for the Jewish holidays. We always had, Passover, Hanukkah, and we were very Jewish. I had a bar mitzvah at the age of 13 years old. And long story short, we would fast on Yom Kippur, which is the Day of Atonement. And I was taught that I was forgiven of my sins. After the Day of Atonement was completed, I had been forgiven of my sins. And I always wondered, how is this accurate to just fast one day a year and then the rest of the year do anything I wanted to do? You know, and unfortunately, there were plenty of things in New York City to do that weren't so good. And long story short, when I was 21 years old, God made me realize that I really needed to find out about forgiveness. I knew that fasting one day a year was not forgiveness, and I really felt convicted of my sins. Again, I realized that Jesus was Jewish. I always knew that he offered forgiveness, and made some calls. And when I was 21 years old, I asked Jesus into my life. He entered into my heart, and I feel more Jewish now than I've ever been in my entire life. Mark, it's just so amazing that my own Jewish people don't realize that I didn't stop being Jewish, but I'm a completed Jew now. I know the Messiah of Israel. I know the God of Israel.
Well, it seems like you were taught, you know, that biblical principle of sin, of falling short, of missing the mark. And in the Old Testament times, there was that sacrifice that you brought before the priest. But who helped you connect with the Lord Jesus as being the Savior, as the one that you could go to be cleansed? That high priest, if you will, you know, the Lord Jesus that said to you, Doug, your sins are forgiven and welcome home, if you will.
Well, I made some calls in New York City. There were other believers that I knew that were Jewish, and I made some calls, and I went down to Manhattan, and I visited them, and they gave me a little pocket Bible to read, gave me some literature. I think one of the pieces of literature had what's called the Sinner's Prayer, which some of your listeners may know. It's on some literature. Basically, it's a simple prayer. It says, God, I've sinned against you. I'm sorry. I turn from my sins, and I accept Jesus as my atonement, my forgiveness. And that's a simple thing, a simple prayer you can pray even right now if you want to become a believer like I did 26 years ago. And when I did that, like I said, the Lord really entered into my life. It's not this religious event, but it's a true personal interaction between myself and the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. And when he came into my life, it's like being born again. My eyes were opened. And it's amazing because I feel more Jewish now again. And my desire is, as Paul says, as the Jewish apostle Paul says in the book of Romans, he says, my heart's desire and prayer to God is that the Jewish people might come to know their Messiah, that they might be saved. And that's my desire too. And that's what Rock of Israel is about. And I'm sure many of your Great News Radio family will have Jewish people that they have in their life somehow, either through work or maybe their doctor, or maybe their, I don't know, their friend, or maybe their son or daughter married a Jewish person. Don't be afraid. Let them know that Jesus is the Messiah, and they don't stop being Jewish by believing in the Messiah of Israel.
Hey, take us through maybe some steps or inroads that we can make with our Jewish friends so we don't be perceived as a threat or proselytizing. What are some just simple ways? I mean, I know there's some simple ways, just befriending, asking them about their family, loving on them, being a good listener, caring for them. But are there some real specific, tangible verses or ways that you would recommend the typical evangelical when they're interacting with their Jewish neighbor?
Sure. First, if they're interested, your listeners, they can just send me an email and I can send them a little list kind of to help them out if they can't jot it down. Maybe they're driving right now. But some pointers would be, first of all, just really and truly be interested in them as a person. And it says in Romans, Paul says that the Gentiles are saved to provoke the Jews to jealousy. In other words, they've got to look at you and say, what do you have that I don't have? Why do you know about the Messiah? That's a Jewish term. How come you're talking about the Messiah? If you're going to quote scripture, I would say talk about the Old Testament. And again, they don't call it the Old Testament. They call it the Tanakh, which is an acronym for the Old Testament. But it's still what we call the Old Testament, the same Bible. I would say quote Isaiah 53 or maybe one of the Psalms. You know, how do we know that Jesus is the Messiah? Well, I mean, well, you might say, well, I grew up in church, so I know he's the Messiah, but that's good for you. But most Jewish people, they're from Missouri. Show me. And I would say show them in their own Jewish Bible, like Isaiah 53, Psalm 22, Zechariah 12:10, Daniel chapter 7, Daniel chapter 9, Genesis 49:10. These are just some beginning verses to show them. Send them a card. A greeting card for, instead of sending them a Christmas card, send them a Hanukkah card. And then a Passover in the spring, send them a card for Passover. And send them a card for Rosh Hashanah, which just occurred. That's in the autumn. And so these events, and by the way, talk about your faith, but again, in a Jewish way. Talk about your love for the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, your love for the Messiah of Israel. And they will, again, this will totally, it'll be great because it'll throw them into total confusion. They're like, wait, aren't you a Christian? Yes, I am, but I want to thank you for giving me the Messiah of Israel. He's my Messiah. He's my, you know, he's the one who really makes me love the Jewish people.
And I love what you said, you know, be interested in them, love on them. They're not a project. And for Christians, I'm speaking to our Christian audience now, people are not the project. You know, they're
right.
Not the ones you need to be working on. Just love on them. Look at them as people, as friends, and just share your faith. And I love your comment, too. And I could get really fired up on this because I've been to Israel many, many times. And, in fact, tonight we're having our special kind of meet and greet Q&A, a Taste of Israel. And I have found many times when I meet Jewish people, I always refer to the scriptures as the Hebrew scriptures. And I can quote Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob and the prophets, and they're like, you even know those people? I'm like, oh, we love the scriptures, the Hebrew scriptures. And I never refer to it as the Old Testament, only because sometimes they hear us saying old meaning obsolete, unnecessary, outdated, and a true believer is daily in God's Word, which is the Old and New Testament. And so they're always intrigued by that and, you know, honoring them because, thank you, God, it's through the Jewish people that God's Word was recorded and kept and written out and preserved for us. And Jesus is Jewish, no doubt about it. So we have to credit and honor and thank them. And so, yeah, I love the Jewish friends that God has brought into my life. And they just only enhance my understanding of the scriptures. And I love interacting and learning from them.
And Mark, how I wish that every believer had the same understanding and heart that you did. I mean, I'm sure many, you know, in your Great News Radio family understand this somewhat, but you hit the nail on the head. I mean, have a genuine love for them, and by the way, not just the Jewish people, but all their people in their sphere of influence, and understand the Jewishness of the gospel. And like I said, I can't tell you how many times after I've shared in a congregation where people come up to me afterwards and they talk about how they have a Jewish friend that they've been sharing with, and the Jewish friend is amazed at how they know so much about the Jewish people. You can't really understand the New Testament unless you really understand the old, what's called the Old Testament or the Hebrew Scriptures. You know, when Paul went to a new town, you follow Paul in the Book of Acts. Whenever he went to a new town, do you know where he went first, Mark?
Yeah, the synagogue.
Right. You know why? Because he read Romans 1:16. As a matter of fact, he wrote Romans 1:16. And because he said, I am not ashamed of the gospel, for it is the power of God to salvation to all who believe, period, right? No, comma, to the Jew first. Now, why is the gospel to the Jew first? Well, let me give you a quick illustration here. Mark, if you were going out to visit somebody, let's say Sunday morning you're going out to visit a congregation, a church, and your neighbor's leaving for church too, and your neighbor comes out of his house and he gives you a big wave. You know, he's a friendly guy, Mark, and Mark, he gives you a big wave and he doesn't realize it. But when he gives you a big wave and he says, hey, Mark, he gives you a big wave. His wristwatch comes flying off his wrist and lands in between your 2 yards there. Now, Mark, you give him a big wave back. You say, hey, take care, Dave. Have a good day, you know. And he gets into his car, backside of his driveway, and off he goes. And then you wait till he turns the corner and you walk over between your 2 yards and you say, boy, my watch broke 3 weeks ago, have not been able to get another one yet. This must be God answering prayer this morning. Now, Mark, would you do something like that? Don't answer the question in for a minute.
Yeah, yeah, no. I better not raise my hand.
Right. I mean, obviously, it's a silly story, but what are you supposed to do? Don't you have an obligation to your neighbor, right? What are you supposed to do? You're supposed to say, hey, Dave, whatever your neighbor's name is, you dropped your watch. Now, if your neighbor says, hey, Mark, you can keep it. I've got 9 more in the house. Then you can go over and pick it up and go praise God, right?
Right, right.
But until you go, hey, neighbor, you have not fulfilled your obligation to your neighbor. Now, that's a illustration we can use in one-on-one. It's a kind of a silly story. But the principle, remember the principle from Romans 1:16, the gospel is to the Jew first? That's exactly what I believe the church has missed for the past 2,000 years. They've looked at what the Jewish people have dropped, They said, look what they've dropped. They've dropped their Messiah. They don't even realize who they've missed. They've went over in between their yards there. They picked up the manger, and they went, thank you, God, for sending us the Messiah. And they forgot to go, hey, Israel, he belongs to you. We want to give him back to you in love.
A great illustration and story to close our program. I'm looking forward to seeing you this Sunday. You're coming to the New Beginnings Fellowship in Gibson City right on North Route 47. I believe it's the 10 a.m. service you're going to be sharing, and I'm sure you'll hang around to answer questions and to meet up with people. In case you just tuned in, we have Doug Carmel on the phone with us. He's with Rock of Israel. You can find out more about his ministry at rockofisrael.org. Also, if you want to email Doug and he can send you maybe some tips and be involved in receiving his newsletter, it's douglascarmel@juno.com, douglascarmel@juno.com. Well, Doug, I look forward to seeing you on Sunday. And in our closing minute, how can we effectively pray for you in the days ahead?
Well, Mark, again, the Great News Radio family there, if they can pray that God would lead me to people, Jewish people, and all people, of course, that are open. I mean, I don't want to, so to speak, spin my wheels. I want to really be effective in reaching people with the good news of the Messiah of Israel. So if you can pray that God would open the doors for me, we're going to be on the streets in 2013 sharing the Lord. We're going to be in fairs sharing the Lord. So just pray that I might have, as Paul says, fruit. I want fruit in my ministry.
Well, thanks, Doug, for being available on this, the Friday edition of Mark and Friends, and we'll encourage our listeners to come out to New Beginnings Fellowship this Sunday for their 10 a.m. service to hear you preach and share and connect with maybe a new Jewish friend in their lives through some of the things you share and some of the tips that you give so they can be effective.
Okay, great.
All right, Doug, well, have a good
one.
All
right, Mark, good talking to you.
Take care.
Thank you so much, and keep me posted. If there's anything else, you know, anything in the future, everyone, let me know.
Okay, thanks.
Hi, thanks. Bye-bye.
Wasn't Doug Carmel wonderful? Again, to find out more, rockofisrael.org, rockofisrael.org. Hope you can make it out to our Serve and Learn tonight, 6:30 p.m. at the Community Evangelical Free Church in Mahomet, Illinois. RSVP at 217-367-7777. Lots going on this weekend. Check out our community event calendar at greatnewsradio.org. Lots of great activities going on. Thanks for listening, everyone. Thanks for being a part of our radio listening family. This is Mark Burns with the Ministry of Great News Radio. God bless you and have a great day, night, weekend, and Shabbat Shalom.